Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
And so we continue with the back and forth around Iran, the United States, with a hint of Israel. It is very, very confusing. It's absolutely impossible to know, I think, what is going on from one minute to the next. But now, a recent report suggesting Iran is reassessing its level of cooperation with international nuclear inspection following the conflict with the United States and Israel. We continue to try and figure out what is happening here. To help us understand the political, strategic implications, we're joined by Gil Hoffman, Israeli-American journalist, political correspondent, and executive director at Honest Reporting. Gil, a very, very good morning. Thank you for joining us. I hope you're well.
Pleasure being with you, Howard. No longer Honest Reporting, but pleasure being with you.
You know, I think you even told me that the last time, so I do apologize for that. As I was saying that, I thought to myself, something's not feeling honest about this reporting. But okay, thank you for that clarification. We will certainly make a note about that. You know, Gil, part of me feels we should just like stop talking about this Iran, the United States so-called negotiation, and just wait until something happens or something gets done or doesn't get done. Because to report on what anybody is, what they are each saying about this, seems to be just a complete waste of time because it changes from one second to the next. Give me your reaction to that.
That makes complete sense, including the point of view of the president of the United States. He changes his mind one second to the next. But let's put this in perspective for the people listening to this. There's a 60-day interim arrangement that is reached by the vice president of the United States. And in Israel, the assumption is that Iran will violate it every day, and not letting in inspectors is part of that. And if the supreme leader, who we've never seen, decides that he wants to pursue his nuclear program, even though it was damaged beyond repair in the two wars ago, more than the last one, then that's very stupid of him, because then he would then bring on the wrath of America again, which would be easier for America to be involved after the American election. Their midterm election is the first week of November. And if the president of the United States, as it looks now, loses control over both houses of Congress, the only thing he can really deal with is foreign policy. And if the president of the United States keeps control over one house of Congress minimum, then he's re-emboldened. And as a lame duck of a lame duck, he can do whatever he wants. So those things work in Israel's favor. And one last thing, just because I look through everything through political eyes, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who the successor is in Iran, but I know in America there's a leadership battle going on right now for who's going to succeed Trump as the Republican candidate for president. And there, if the deal doesn't get honored, then J.D. Vance, who reached the deal, looks bad, which is good for Israel, whereas Rubio, who negotiated the agreement with Lebanon, which is holding, looks good, and that's good for Israel too.
Wow, that is so interesting. I never thought of it. I mean, certainly we can see the the battle for the party and for the leadership of the party, and we could see the lines between J.D. Vance and Rubio, and they've made it very, very clear. That's also fascinating, and it maybe makes it a bit easier because there's little doubt where either of them stand. But what I didn't see are the parallels, negotiations, the Lebanon one and the Iran one. And it's almost like Trump himself is saying, as the CEO of the Republican Party, saying that, okay, guys, I'm going to give you each a challenge. Both of them are difficult. Both have been going on for years. And let's see who succeeds with it, and let's see who doesn't.
I encourage the listeners to hear what the president of Lebanon said overnight, really defending the agreement that was reached. things are going in the right direction. And I want to point out also, I don't know if you've spoken about this earlier on your show, but today's the 1,000-day anniversary of October 7th.
We haven't mentioned it yet, so thank you for raising that.
There are protests all over the country, so it's kind of hard over here to not notice it. More internal Israeli politics over here with an election coming up in October. But I think it's significant to see where we are right now and security-wise, and see that Iran was defeated significantly, as much as we're upset that it didn't happen even more, so, as much as we're upset that the regime is the same regime, but it was a lot worse on October 6th, and obviously the same thing with Lebanon,
Hezbollah.
Syria, etc.
I'm actually a bit upset by what you just have said, not that part of it, the sentences before, to say that there are protests and there are, all over Israel, 1,000 days, political ones. Surely 1,000 days on Shiva Sabat Tammuz, which can't be a coincidence. Surely that should be a day of unity, commemoration, support for people who
Oh
have
my.
lost loved ones and who have lost people not only on October 7th but following. There's so many families who have been left bereaved and have losses that aren't just, not only life but limb and mental health as well. Surely that should be the focus. I mean, I don't mean to be judgmental and all, but maybe sometimes reading the as I sometimes say, you can read the. It's easier to read the label from outside the jar. Surely that's more important.
Well, had there been a proper commission of inquiry that would be statesmanlike and objective, that it would have been formed, as happened after the mistakes of the Yom Kippur War and things that people might remember less, like the various disasters that there have been, the Mount Maccabiah Bridge and the Second Lebanon War and the Lag BaOmer, where so many people died in the Meron Hill, all those got such things, and here people feel that they don't have closure. The people who've lost their loved ones, or the people who served hundreds of days, and that there hasn't been accountability, one way or another. Whether this isn't necessarily all people blaming the prime minister who hasn't taken responsibility. Could be supporters of him too who blame the army, the intelligence agencies, etc., for not being ready.
So, do you think that is do you think that is the root cause of this? The fact that there hasn't been a commission of inquiry that is an external one?
Allow me to be cynical again, that it is because an election is being initiated right
Right,
now,
right.
and that in a multi-party system, everyone who's in support of a party that's not in power, and we have, 20 such parties, they have an interest in uniting against who is in power and reminding them of October 7th. We don't know yet what this election is going to be about, but they certainly have an interest in keeping October 7th at the forefront between now and then. And so, any anniversary or any day of significance, the prime minister might have made a mistake by not initiating an election somewhat earlier. So, October 7th itself will be immediately before our election. That's looking more and more likely. It'll be on October 27th, which sounds too much like October 7th.
Yes. As you were saying that, I was thinking, wow, that has some very interesting echoes. Wow, very, very interesting. Just to circle back, oh, I hate that expression, but let's just do that anyway because I just want to just to conclude with some sort of understanding of this. Do we have any further real information about whether Iran is prepared to or will be prepared or forced to comply with any nuclear inspections?
Oh, the president and the vice president both say that they will hold Iran to the agreement that was reached. We can all have reason to have doubts with both of them. But there are still plenty of Iranian warships, excuse me, American warships in the region that is supposed to have some kind of deterrent effect. All kinds of planes that are stationed here, among other places in the region that are supposed to have a deterrent effect. And things in Iran change every day among their own leadership challenges that there are there. There are people who are upset that the balance of power is confusing right now with how much the Revolutionary Guard really controls things and not the Ayatollah. It's going to be fascinating as these 60 days go on.
That is where we leave it, Gil Hoffman. Thank you, as always. Absolutely fascinating conversation.